In the name of God, who writes a gospel story of good news with our lives, if we will pay attention. Amen. Wow, did I hit the mother load of lessons today? I want to read from my favorite Bible translation, The Message by Eugene Peterson. From Genesis, God told Abram, "Leave your country, your family, and your father's home for a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation and bless you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left just as God said, and Lot left with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abram is the common ancestor for Jews, Christians, Muslims, the Abrahamic religions. This means that we have a great deal more in common than what separates us. It also just occurred to me that I am almost as old as Abram. Now a little bit from the reflection for this morning in the Forward Movement. God focuses on what Abram must leave behind. Country, kindred, his father's house. These things Abram leaves behind are more than just tangible items, geographical locations, and relationships. Ultimately, they form Abram's identity, security, and place in the community. They are the concrete things he knows about life, about himself, and about the world. God will now be the giver and provider of context and content for Abram's life. Abram is called to leave his home and his land, his relatives, friends, his community, everything he has ever known. Every journey, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual, begins with leaving something behind. Maybe the reason we feel like we never get anywhere new in life is because we are unwilling to leave anything, much less everything, behind. Every journey, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual, begins with leaving something behind. Maybe the reason we feel like we never get anywhere new in life is because we are unwilling to leave anything, much less everything, behind. Let me tell you a little bit about my story, our family's story, and leaving everything behind. In 1968, we lived in Lakeland, Florida. That's almost 50 years ago. After Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy were assassinated, I happened to be the director of the Vacation Bible School for St. David's Episcopal Church in Lakeland. Not surprising, I've been active in the church all of my life. Martin Luther King Jr. is one of a few recognized saints that has lived in my lifetime. I felt convicted that if I'm going to be the director of this vacation Bible school in fancy-dancy, all-white St. David's Episcopal Church, I am going to dedicate it not only to Martin Luther King's memory, but to his work. And so I insisted that we invite the all-African American Baptist Church from the segregated other side of town to join us with their kids and their teachers in this endeavor. And it worked. Every morning there was such aliveness, such diversity and willingness. It surprises me to this day that that African American Baptist Church was willing to trust and risk coming across town to worship God with us. Recently, after taking my grandchildren, daughter and daughter-in-law, to see the biography of Rosa Parks at Real Artways one Saturday morning, my favorite local theater, we were having an early lunch at A.C. Peterson's, and I told my grandchildren the story about Vacation Bible School and why. My daughter-in-law leaned over and said, "Is that when you decided to move from Florida?" "Yes, of course it is." Bruce and I were also the advisors of the youth group. We had not one member apply to college north of the Mason-Dixon line. We realized that our values did not match this culture, and that our children would more than likely take on the values of that culture. Bruce was leaving the best law firm with whom he ever practiced. His mentor was the president of the American Bar Association when Nixon was impeached. We were leaving both our families, all of our connections and friends from school and college, a secure future financially, a beautiful home, in fact, a community that had just elected Bruce the outstanding young man of the city. Our children were 2.5, 4, and 6. When we got to Connecticut, people thought we had lost our minds. "Why would you leave Florida and come to Connecticut?" Fortunately, Bruce had a case with the Ribicoff Law Firm in Hartford, and they asked him to join. So we were coming to a law firm, a neighborhood, an elementary school, where we were the only Gentiles. I want to tell you a little bit of a funny story. After being with the kids Monday through Friday, if Bruce wanted to go into the office on Saturday, I made him take the kids. So he'd bring in this little portable television and put it on the floor of Senator Ribicoff's office, which looked very much like a small oval office. Beautiful antiques, the eagle in the middle of the gold and blue rug. They'd set up the TV and the kids would watch cartoons Saturday morning, lying on their bellies in Abe Ribicoff's office while Bruce worked. Well, one Saturday morning, Senator Ribicoff came into his office with our three kids sprawled all over his carpet. And Bruce came in and said, "Shannon, David, and Greg, I'd like you to meet our United States Senator, Abraham Ribicoff. And in unison, one voice out of their mouths came this question: Are you Jewish? I hope that pleased Jesus and his mother and dad because it embarrassed us. But of course, this was their new identity and their new context. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I was really competent at this move. It was cold, it was snowing. We had come from Florida. It was a huge transition. Bruce's winter coat was a golf sweater. And I felt very much alone. I had no family. I had no relationships, no home, no connections, no church. Bruce had the law firm. So I went to work teaching Head Start with our three-year-old son in Stowe Village in the north end of Hartford. You see, we had chosen West Hartford because of the public school system. We figured there were a lot of people here who valued education and that we would find people like us. And our kids have gotten a great education. And now our grandkids. I'm telling you all this because the only thing we knew when we left everything was that we felt called to move, like Abram. And the Spirit of God has formed in each one of us to grow us into who we are now. The action of God in our lives has written the gospel, our journey of faith. And God has been faithful and done more than we could ask or imagine. If you had told me when we moved that I would be standing here in this pulpit, I would tell you you had lost your mind. The only women I knew in the church were fully inhabit nuns. There were no women in the Episcopal Church. Our former rector, in fact, had walked around in a Beretta and a fuchsia-colored cassock. Very high Anglo-Catholic Episcopal Church. So here's where you come in. I want us to take the next few minutes in silence, which is God's first language. And I want each one of us to consider how the Spirit has formed and informed our own faith journey. See if you can notice where you have made a choice, a decision, a change, where you were willing to give up or leave something behind and take a risk, hoping for something new in your career, with your partner, for your kids, your home, your community, your schools, or even a health crisis. Where has God acted in your life? We'll take the next 3 minutes. Now, very gently come back to this place and this space. I hope that you will take the time today or during the week to share what you have discovered, and to keep paying attention to where God is acting in your life, to what God is inviting you to. Because our stories are what help us make meaning of our lives. And if our lives are going to reveal God's action the way Abram's did, if we're going to write the gospel God can make in our lives the way Jesus' life did, then we have to be paying attention to where God is inviting us. That is the life of a disciple. Amen.